from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
It's easy to sum it up. When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Jeremy White.
Not a game. We talking about practice. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
And Joe DiBiase.
When you come in the arena and you see me play, you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now.
But it's an issue that you're
we talking about
practice.
Man, I hear you. It's funny to me too. It's strange to me too. But we talking about practice, man. We not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's right. We are indeed talking about practice.
Yeah. We're
talking about practice. What are we talking about? Practice. It's practice today. The Bills have practice. Their first of training camp. Moving away to St. John Fisher. Moving in. Forging those bonds.
Yep, starting up their NCAA college football dynasty.
That's definitely right. There's got to be a connected dynasty going on in these dorms.
Yep.
So, good morning, Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher. We're talking about practice and coverage of training camp. Bills training camp is brought to you by St. John Fisher. From St. John Fisher is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. In part by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. 803-0550, first practice today. We'll, of course, get you our thoughts on it throughout the morning. We'll send you tweets. We'll be back here tomorrow morning to talk about it. Sal's going to be live on the field with us as well when he gets a chance to check in. Sean McDermott carried live. 9:15, the national media rolling through. We expect to talk with Evan Washburn tomorrow. He'll be here. So, yeah, it's camp season, and that means – this is what I wanted to get to. It's time for viral camp highlights.
Yes.
And much to, well, chagrin, however you want to say it, the first – Matt Harmon wrote about this. He referred to it as the timeline melting highlight.
Okay.
The timeline destroying training camp highlight. The first goes to Mahomes and Worthy.
Yes. Mahomes rolling out left, flips his hips, fires it down the field. Worthy's is past everybody.
And the super fast guy ran by everybody and caught a touchdown.
Yes.
Xavier Worthy, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. Gold jacket already.
It is training camp viral highlight season.
Yeah.
And listen, we'll do a flow chart here. Did you see a great highlight? Yes. Was it your team? Yes. Love it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be good. Was it another team? Okay, it's just practice. It doesn't count.
Doesn't matter.
But Worthy, listen, we've done this conversation a bunch. There are two hot-button topics on receiver that are not on the Bills. One of them is Diggs.
Yeah.
There's lots of conversations still to be had about Diggs. And the other is Xavier Worthy in Kansas City, where they made that trade. They got that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea if he's going to be any good or if it's going to work out. But I do know, and this is, to me, this is not debatable. Every time he does anything, I have to think about how the Bills made that happen.
Yes.
And that's the first time it happened.
Yes,
training camp. 68-yard touchdown through the. Doesn't count. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But instantly, the Bills made that happen.
Yeah.
For them.
It won't come up as often. This is kind of the Mahomes-Allen thing, too, isn't it? It won't come up as often if both players are good. Right?
I don't know that the two have to even bother being linked.
Well, see, I think they might be. Like, because I think the noise or the disdain of that trade and giving the Chiefs Worthy is going to be 10 times louder if Keon Coleman can't play.
Yeah, I do think the two are separate because it doesn't mean – to me, the main point is if the two receivers right now flip teams, my opinion would be the same. I can't believe you let them get Keon Coleman. It's not about the players.
Right.
It's about the approach. And the approach will be only, for me, if he's good. Because if you get Coleman, fine. If he's great, that's amazing. That's still the team you're chasing. If they're both great, then I've, at best,
net neutral.
It's net neutral.
Yeah.
And I can't be going net neutrals with the team that keeps beating me. And, in fact, this year, like, this is a main thing about the Bills this year that's going to be interesting. Kansas City last year offensively had a down year and tooled up with a number one receiver in the draft, first round pick in the draft, and Marquise Brown. Like, their two biggest moves were at that position. So you could talk about the Bills receivers in a couple different ways. Matt Harmon also writing at the site of the same article about the timeline melting Worthy highlight. He said he thinks the Bills group is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Right.
Great. If the Bills have a wide receiver room that is better than last year's room, that's good news. But this kind of gets to however you want to make these analogies. The goal isn't to be better than you were last year. It's to be better than everybody was last year or everybody is this year.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a Bills wide receiver group that's a little bit better, but if you are falling behind other teams' offenses, you are not actually gaining ground. So if Kansas City pushes way up and becomes the unquestioned number one offense again, and you've drifted back, I'm going to feel farther away and like you've got work to do. So it's always about, for me, Joe, keeping eyes on who it should be. And it's not your own standard, really. It's the league standard.
Right.
And they have been the league standard.
And can I, for a moment, let's look at the Chiefs receivers. Are they actually about to be really good at receiver? Like, how possible is it? Because I don't know, this is not solid. We don't have a suspension yet, but I've seen it floated out there more and more recently, like, hey, I wonder if Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended until 2025.
Right, that happens sometimes. That's the timeline.
Yeah. So if that's the case, like, we haven't talked about him really this offseason much at all, other than all the legal trouble. He got in a car accident, injured people, left the scene. Like, it was bad. He's going to get suspended for sure at some point, but maybe not this year. If he is on the team this year and plays the whole season, then suddenly, you know, Worthy versus Coleman, like, Worthy, by the way, with viral catches, I don't know how many he's going to get, because aren't they all kind of going to look the same?
You would think they're all going to be
Whereas Coleman, Biggie, you might think shots. He's an artist, where like, oh, one of them's a right-handed, one-handed catch over a guy, and another one, he's going over his head, and, yep. You know, there might be a bunch of different looking ones for Coleman.
Well,
but
to that point, just to jump on that, I'm thinking of a Sammy Watkins catch he made. Like, one of, if you think about these catches that go viral or everyone seems to get to just kind of latch onto, why is that worthy catch one that matters? Because he displayed the thing he's going to display, which is he has the insane speed. Hey, look, here's a highlight, insane speed. If we get Keon Coleman making a post-up contested catch with his big mitts on the ball and the bang, there's the guy. So there's a little bit of not just any highlight, but is he showcasing that he's doing the thing they drafted him for early? That's what Kincaid did. Kincaid last year came in, and it was seamlessly fitting into the offense. Catch, turn, boom. Look at this. Look at the hands. Look at the smooth nature of his game.
Yep.
When you showcase what you're drafted for, I feel like that resonates.
That is definite. That is definitely true. I guess it's just the nature of what Worthy's good at. It's like how many different ways can you see that? You know, sometimes what the quarterback does matters too to that. But, like, man, they are – like comparing the Bills receivers and like to the league, like that's the right way to approach it, I think. And Kansas City, like they signed, I guess what they did is kind of similar, right? Like what was their starting point though? Because they didn't have their digs, they didn't lose. Their digs over the years has really been Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And Kelce is still playing at a super high level. You might say he had a down year last year, but by other tight end standards, it was still one of the best tight end seasons. It was if you took out all of Kelce's years, what the year he just had was about as good as everybody else ever has. 1,000 yards, 100-plus targets. He's still tremendous. And the Bills bring in Curtis Samuel. Well, Kansas City brings in Marquise Brown. You know, we're talking about like a second-tier receiver, free agent contract. It's not a big amount of money. Guy's done something in the league, showcases some talent. And then, you know, the Bills have Shakir, but how good's Rashee Rice? He was a rookie last year. I don't know that he's amazing, but he put up big numbers. He was very good yards after catch. They threw a lot of screens to him. And with Worthy now in the fold, the Bills, like, you better be near as good as them, at least. I'm thinking about their division, too. Like, they've already been passed by the Dolphins at that position, for sure, with Hill and Waddle. And, like, I don't know. Are they – how likely is it they'll have a better supply of weapons in the Jets at the end of the year? How are we going to feel about them in terms of their division at the end of the year? I'd be very tough for me to see them not at least being treated better than New England on that front. New England is nowhere when it comes to their weapons offensively. But, like, are you going to fall behind the Jets too now when it comes to your weapons? They've got the true number one. I don't know how much they've got after that. Mike Williams in the fold, but it's about if Samuel can step forward from what he's been on other teams and Coleman can provide anything as a rookie, I feel like I'm okay. But the standard for a team that should be top five in offense every year should be better than just okay. Like, someone's got to be a star in this group. And that probably should be Kincaid.
That's right. I still think a receiver has to be a borderline star. If you're going to be great, you're probably going to have someone show up and be great and break out. 803-0550 if you want to join us on this. Jeremy and Joe from training camp. So all that boils down to is Joe Brady. And Sal, in our conversation with him, talking about how the difference between running someone else's offense and installing your own. And if there's one thing, Joe, that Bills fans might be really like locked in on, is it run pass rate? Is it balance? Like, these are things we can't know until the start of the season.
Correct.
We could look at how Keon Coleman separates. Where, again, like, you can't exactly report where guys are lining up, but fans in the stands can see, hey, Curtis Samuel's running out of the backfield or whatever it might be.
We might try to pick up on some positional battles for the few that there are.
How much is Keon Coleman? Oh, look, Coleman is playing a little bit of big slot. If you're standing out there, you can see it.
Oh, Matt Collins is getting reps with the first team.
Sure. All that stuff. There's absolutely no way to look into how much they run the ball, neutral game script, any of that stuff until this. You can't even do that in the preseason. You can't do it until the regular season. Warren Sharp had a number on the Bills that I found super interesting.
Okay.
Pass rate inside the 10-yard line.
Okay.
This, he clarified.
Yeah.
Drop back rate.
Okay.
Not pass,
because
run. Because
Allen. Scrambles
yeah.
are going to be, that was going to be my first question. Yeah.
Where do you think the Bills finished in drop back rate when they were inside the 10-yard line? Going for the end zone inside the 10, the Bills' drop back rate this past season. Again, it's a full season. Some Dorsey, some Joe Brady. But where do you think they finished?
This is a tough one to figure out because
it's like there's a lot of scheme here.
I might want to predict their high because they know there's always the Allen scrambling portion of a red zone pass play.
Right.
So I might want to predict they're high up on the list
for
their pass rate.
The lowest pass rate belonged to Philadelphia. That shouldn't come as a surprise. They tush push. They tush push.
The Bills, by the way, did a lot of tush push last year, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
They did. Philadelphia was the lowest pass rate inside the 10.
Okay.
Then came Pittsburgh.
Not a surprise at all.
Then came the Bills and the Niners.
Wow.
Tied for the third lowest.
Third from the bottom.
They ran the ball inside the 10 a lot.
Yeah. How much of that, again, is their own version of the tush push?
But
it's not like other teams weren't doing it, too.
No,
there were a
right.
lot of teams doing it.
Some of it.
I
don't have the split on Brady v. Dorsey, but
yeah,
people were aware of Brady's, and I saw you tweeting about this the other day, too, that Brady got a lot of credit for committing more to the run, and Brady got credit for keeping the offense on schedule. That's really what they did. With Dorsey, they would move the ball and stall.
And they killed the turnovers, or at least statistically. I don't know how much was, like, they would have been trying to do that, but the turnovers did go away.
Yeah, sometimes the stalls for Dorsey were turnovers. Sometimes Brett Coleman did a big, big breakdown for Underdog and for his bootleg podcast and pointed out that when the Bills would move the ball all over the place and then stall with Dorsey.
Right.
And that's why their EPA stats were good, and we would say, screw EPA, who cares?
Because they were empty drives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Brady, they linked things together. They kept things going in a way. So that's why he's one of the more interesting people in this entire organization right now, is because if I've got some things that were good, okay, that's good, but is his offense going to be that same offense? Does he want more big play? They spent the offseason talking a lot about big plays, which is not linking together, staying on schedule. They want explosive plays. So anyway, like, all of it comes back to what Joe Brady's offense looks like, what the run-pass rate looks like inside the 10, in the red zone, between the 20s, between the 40s. Like, every time we talk about how much there is to learn about this team, the changeover on offense is center, guard, offensive coordinator, receiver, receiver, receiver. It's all over the place. There's so much change. Quarterback coach.
Yep.
So
I don't know if there has been a more tough to figure out what does the coordinator want to do situation than what we're approaching. That is such, I mean, it's number two in Sal's questions on his article at WGR550.com. Like, what does Joe Brady want the offense to look like? It's so tough because what the limited background you have on him says is the guy wants to throw the ball maybe to a fault. That is, go back into his history in Carolina. Look up stories that writers in Carolina were putting together when he got fired for why he got fired.
My question would be, did he want to do that because they couldn't run it? You might have a coach that wants you to run the ball and you're bad at it.
Right. They didn't even really try to run the ball a lot. Maybe, no, you're right. Like, 17 attempts in a game was one of the problems Matt Rhule had, where he said, I want to run the ball more. We want to average 33 rush attempts per game as a thing that came out of that coach's mouth. And what did Joe Brady do? He threw the ball 49 times and ran the ball 17 times. And there's context required there, too, I know. The game situation, how good were they running the ball? I don't remember how good they were running the ball, but it was said a lot in Carolina that he got fired because he wouldn't commit to the run. That his head coach wanted to run it, and he wanted to throw it, despite the fact that Teddy Bridgewater was his quarterback, by the way. But you look at, again, like, last year he ran it, and they threw the ball to the running back more, right? James Cook's rate of the of targets went way up when Joe Brady came in. Versus you go look at Carolina, and what did he have in Carolina? DJ Moore, 118 targets, then 165 targets. Robbie Anderson, 136 targets for Robbie Anderson in a Joe Brady offense, then 110. Curtis Samuel in the 1 year he played for him at 97. He had three receivers in 1 year that almost had 100 targets. And
now he's got Josh Allen.
Now he's got Josh Allen, and now we got receivers that are like, oh, I don't really know if they even have a DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel trio. I think they probably don't. And they threw the ball to the running back more, and they ran the ball more, and it was a little safer, a little more conservative. Why was what we thought Joe Brady was as a coordinator, even if you want to go back to LSU too, a little different because he had two elite number ones there, why is what happened at the end of last year so different? And I really think I want to put my chips on. That was just the circumstance. That was just the reaction to what had happened under Dorsey. They were stalling on drives. They were turning the ball over. They didn't have the receiving core, maybe that they thought they did, and it was getting them beat. So we got to do something else. We just did anything. We got to do something else. We got to run the ball more. We are going to throw the ball to the running back more.
Yeah, right. You don't change guys for him to do the same job.
Right.
You're asking him, give me something different.
Exactly. And I think I want to believe that what they looked like on offense last year was more circumstance, and that what we're going to see from them on offense this year is going to look vastly different, because now they actually, Brady especially, has the ability to prepare for it. And I'm sure, I mean, the Curtis Samuel connection, he was with him in Carolina. I have to think that Brady would have said to Bean at some point during the offseason, like, I can do this with this guy. This is a player I didn't have last year. All those screens I tried throwing to Stephon Diggs that didn't work because it's not the type of player he is, this is the guy. Go get me a guy like this and I'll be able to work with it. So I think the offense is going to look vastly different than it did at the end of last year. I almost want to throw out the end of last year for what it means for Joe Brady.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Dipping into some stats from last year, turning the page to this year. It's day one of Bills training camp. We are out here seeing a lot of familiar faces, assembled media. Players not out yet. We'll see.
I haven't seen a player walk by.
Hear the click-clack, the cleats out, you know, walking down here.
Yep, yep.
Hear some pops from the
we
fans.
We haven't seen Deion Dawkins ride by in his little scooter bike. Was it a scooter or was it like a mini motorcycle?
It's a good question. It's too.
When does a scooter graduate to?
I want to say
motorcycle.
That what Dawkins was riding was far too expensive to be called a scooter.
So it's a cost thing.
Yes, I'm going to say it's a price thing.
You're saying you can't have an expensive scooter.
Yes.
It's not a scooter anymore.
Yes, that can't be a scooter.
Interesting.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call if you'd like. Mike Catalana joining us when we return as we continue coverage from Bills camp. Sean McDermott will carry it live at 9:15. His opening camp presser will be here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If the demand is such that after this season, he plays really well and everybody looks at it and says, well, yeah, he's got Tyreek, he's got Waddle, nothing against him. He's got Mike McDaniel. He can do those things in this system, and that's the best place for him. I don't think that a team is going to step up after the season and all of a sudden say, yeah, we're going to give him $60 million a year.
Jeff Darlington on Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's the best point to make on Tua, because any sort of market value is what will others pay for you. And I don't think there's a big, heavy market for Tua in that way. However, Miami does have to, like, do right by Tua on some level. Anyway, we'll continue to track that. Jeremy and Joe here from St. John Fisher joining us here on day one of training camp. If it's not a tradition, it should be day one. You should, like, you welcome us to town. Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM and Buffalo Plus YouTube Sports Director. It doesn't feel like we're here until we talk to you.
Well, I've been here.
Yeah. I was asking Sal how many camps. I did my own math. Are you the king of camp right now? Are you the elder statesman?
The king of camp. Well, I mean, going back to when we went to Fredonia every year, and it was nothing, as you guys have known or heard or whatever. It was nothing at all like this. It was just football practice, two-a-days, pads.
Two-a-days,
like, I was just telling somebody. I remember sitting there talking to Fred Smirlis, sweating like crazy. We're talking to him like between sessions, and he's doing this long interview with us. It was wild. It was so different back then. But, yeah, basically all of them since I started doing this 37 years ago.
Yeah. Right. Well, how different is this one?
In terms of what's been here? Because for what's been here, I think this is different because it feels for the first time in a long time like this is a different team, right? Because, you know, it's funny, in TV, and you know, we're going back looking, I want to show this or show this from camp and all, and almost every time I looked, I saw a guy who's not here anymore because they were the guys that drew a lot of attention. So I think that's a little, I'll say, a little scary for fans. But it's also exciting, I think, in a way, because when you looked at this roster needed to turn over. And it's pretty dramatic in the way they did it. So I think you're going to be – we were talking about who's going to be the popular guys out here, because you knew it before. And now it's some new guys. And it's certainly the rookie, I think he will be, and it's Josh, as always. But, you know, some of those regulars, those 30-plus guys are gone. I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, first camp. Since Rex without Poyer and Hyde especially. I mean, in terms of their departures, like, who will be the weirdest to not have here? Diggs? I mean, is it the whole list?
It is. It's funny, you know, think of Mike Edwards wearing 21, because we all do that, right? You look at a number and it just, like, sort of jars you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because guys who are so tied to it. I mean, I think in a way all of them, I think, you know, just Poyer and Hyde, I feel like this morning they're going to come walking out of the tunnel. It just feels that way. And Diggs was a presence. You know, I said this from the beginning, a lot of people saying, you know, he's gone and all that. And, you know, some, it was all the way to good riddance. Other people was like, it had to happen. But this is when it gets really, really real, because he's not on the field, and without question, he would be their best wide receiver, in my opinion. I think maybe most people would agree. I understand why they did it, but that's going to be something to see in how, obviously, how that all plays out without him on the field.
Mike Catalano joining us here as we sit at St. John Fisher, day one of camp. We'll hear from Sean McDermott in about 45 minutes. We just spent the last segment talking about the offense and whether it's expectations or predictions. You know, there are so many variables, and it really all comes back to Joe Brady and what he wants, what he envisions for this offense. I was just looking at another number, explosive plays. Like, the Bills were about middle of the pack in explosive plays last year, but among playoff teams, they were one of the lowest. They did not have a lot of explosive plays last year. It seemed like it's one of the reasons Dorsey got fired. Everything looked hard for them.
No question.
And then Brady comes in, and he kind of links things up. He has some answers. You wonder, and we wait to see how much change there is from what he had as a formula that seemed to work.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, because we've talked about now it's his offense, right? That he was sort of cooking with somebody else's groceries and all that, and he's trying to make it work. And it is during the season. Well, now he's had the whole offseason, but that added with basically a whole new wide receiver room, or, you know, in large part, makes it very interesting. The thing you don't have, and maybe that's a good thing, is you don't have the somewhat guaranteed targets now, right? It's like, go earn them. And somebody had asked us, like, how do you rank these receivers and where do they fall? I said it's a fluid thing throughout camp and then throughout the year. Who steps up in that way? So for Brady, if he was coming in here with the whole offseason and he still had Diggs and Davis, I think there's a certain mentality of guys who are, you knew where they were going to be and then what they're going to do. I think it's fascinating with the group because every guy in that offense has has to have, some of them have to have something better than they've ever done before.
Yeah.
Right? Either it's because they never got a chance, they got limited chances, they failed in their chances, whatever it is. And that includes James Cook in the backfield, too, because a lot's going to be expected of them.
You know, in terms of somebody emerging, a quarterback goes to the line, reads the defense, and decides what we can do. Like, you can have a lot of plays called. But one of the things about Diggs is that he got all those targets because Allen thought, that's my best play. I should do this. And that's where I'm eager to see who steps into that role. Who becomes Josh Allen's most trusted target?
Yeah.
Because that's a big job.
Yeah, and every time I talk about this, I always think somebody is sitting there listening saying, what about Kincaid? What about Kincaid? Because I think he may evolve into that guy because he's the one who's had a level of success amongst the pass catchers with this offense, Shakir to a certain point. But I think you're right. We talk about the go-to guy in moments. And then I start thinking back at Diggs, and it's so interesting the way, you know, the first half went and the second half went. Because, let's face it, there were times watching them and watching him, he felt unguardable. Mm-hmm. Like, he could run routes, he'd get open, Josh would find him, he'd toy with the defender and then ditch to where he was going to fall or go out of bounds or make a play. Well, but the exciting thing, I guess, if we want to look at it optimistically, is that is wide open for all these guys. And they are guys with talent. You know, like Curtis Samuel, I think, has a lot of talent and a lot of ability that they've been missing from what he can do. And the question is, how quickly can you ramp that up to where it's an important part of this offense?
What about in terms of how much they ran the ball at the end of last year? Like, that maybe was a function of, hey, we got to turn the ball over less. And one way to do that was, let's not force things in the pass game. Do you think that continues, the rate at which they did run the ball more under Joe Brady at the end of last year? I wonder if they could do that for a full season, even with James Cook's size. He got a lot of touches last year.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more you'd want to put on his plate. There's Ray Davis, too. There's Ty Johnson. What about the run game? Do you think they'll run the ball more for a full season this year than they have in many years?
God, I know it sounds like a cop-out, but I stop short of saying they're going to be a running team. You cannot be a running team if Josh Allen is your quarterback, right? I mean, he is too talented and all. But that being said, I never feel like even they ran it more. They're not the type of team, I think, that wants to go out and say, we're going to run it down your throat. It's happened a few times. Like, it happened, you know, when they played against the Cowboys. Yep. And the way they played. But I don't see them being that team. But I do believe it is important to be able to run it. And I think with all those changes in the passing game, it would make sense that maybe early on they rely on that a little bit if they can do it. I don't know how they feel with the changes in the offensive line. I think they should be able to run the ball effectively. But you know, with this offense, running the ball includes 17 running the ball,
yep,
right? And how he does it. I would like to see them get away from the planned runs and more of him just crushing people with his ability to run. But I don't know if that answers your question, but I think they need to be able to do it. And he's going to want to be able to do it for this offense. And then you add in changes in the defense, and I guess you could say running the ball. You know what keeps the ball and keeps the clock is moving the chains, however you can do it. And I want to see them be more efficient overall on the offense, and the running game certainly can play into it.
Speak with Mike Catalano here on WGR. All right, so on Allen, it feels like he's a guy we don't talk about that much, right? He's just, because he is what he is, and we all know he's great. I guess the question I have is, like, the line with great power comes great responsibility. He's got more ownership of this because we are all kind of looking to him, and you hear it all the time. You got Josh Allen, you're going to be a competitive team. You got a chance. Your window's open. So does that translate to, A, pressure's on, or is it a little bit more of we understand if it doesn't go the way maybe it's gone in years past because you are being asked to lift up a little more than you were in years past?
I think most people are rational when it comes to NFL football, right? They won't overreact to anything. Look, he's going to take heat. If it's not good, they're going to say, see, he's not the guy. At least some people will. I think there is more pressure on him in a sense of saying, man, you know, you walk in the building and again, saying that these guys have not had the success. See, you could say, man, Steph Diggs has been this guy. Gabe Davis has had moments of being that guy, and now they're not doing it, and Josh has to pick up on it. Well, now he doesn't have those guys. So I think, in part, I think Josh Allen is a guy who is always going to get heat from a certain – I mean, we see some of the nonsense that goes on when they talk about him. I don't think he's going to be forgiven if this offense doesn't work, if that makes sense. It's just the nature of the position that he plays in this league and the way he's perceived around the league. Within the Bills fan base, I think it might be different this year because there are so many changes, but I think it's the danger for him would be, I got to do it all by myself, and that won't sustain with this group, I don't think at all.
I don't get a lot of Super Bowl or bust vibes around this team. That doesn't mean it's off the table.
Right.
Successful season is?
Whew. Well, look, I still think they should win the AFC East. I mean, I know the Jets are tough, and it's funny, you know, you see all that, and that is a talented roster, and they do have their quarterback. We'll see how that goes. But I think for them, they still should believe they can win the AFC East. It's funny, the Jets have played them tough no matter what they had, and it feels like they split every year with the Jets. So, and they've done well against the Dolphins. So I still think a successful year is playoff team, I would say winning the division, and then go play at that point. Because, you know, I even look back to last year, and, you know, you get to that point in the playoffs, and they got the home game against the Chiefs, and everybody saw what happened, and that was below level of where it should have been. If that were to happen this year, I would say that would probably be considered a successful season. The issue is this franchise, the coaching staff and the quarterback, drag in the last 7 years to wherever they are. You're not going to get a total reset because of the changes in the roster. But, yeah, I still believe, you know, double-digit wins and winning the division and putting yourself in a good spot is what would equate to success.
One on the defense. With all the turnover, we mentioned earlier Poirier and Hyde, Trey White too, although they already made the Douglas trade last year to address that. How much faith should there be in McDermott that he's got the code even with the players that have left, that they're still going to be a top defensive
unit? This is where I tell you, we have a bet.
We have a bet.
I have decided Sean McDermott will never have a bottom 10 defense. Like, I think
ever.
The code, the blueprint, I do have a lot of faith. You can say what you want about other things. When it comes to scheme, I think he's got it.
I'm with you on that, Jeremy. He knows how to coach. He knows how to coach guys up. We sometimes, you just accepted the fact that Poirier was out, Hyde was out for a year, they lost Trey, and this defense just plays. And they find ways, and you look at them, and sometimes you try to map it out. Even if you looked at individual guys on this defense, you know, it's not like you would say superstars all over the place. But I have a lot of faith, even with all the changes, I have a lot of faith in the secondary because of McDermott and Babich and those guys, because they have shown an ability. When I say coach them up, like, they expect them to go out and perform, and they rarely, rarely are a defense that just gets used. And I know, again, I can hear people saying, yeah, until the playoffs, until a big moment, you know, when they don't stop Mahomes all the time and the way it ends up going. But, no, I have a lot of faith in them, and I think they have some – you know, it's funny how quickly things turn. 1 year ago, we were all standing here going, who's going to replace Tremaine?
Yeah.
And I think Terrell Bernard is I could almost say he's the best player on – I think he played at times like the best player on that defense. And I think with he and Taron Johnson, it's a different vibe now, I would say, leadership-wise on that defense. But I have a lot of faith, and obviously Milano is a key. We'll see how he looks, what they end up doing, and the way they end up moving with him. But, no, I'm with you. I have faith in that guy to coach defense and this group. And there's a standard they set, and they hit it all the time.
Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM and Buffalo Plus YouTube Sports Director. Subscribe to Buffalo Plus on YouTube. You and Dan and Jenny, you guys do a great job. You have a good time.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. Those guys, you know, I keep them young is the way I try to do it. So they're great, and we're going to get to work. Dan's waving at me. You know, they got the cameras. They're doing all that hard stuff. I just talk. I talk. That's what I do.
We'll cut you loose. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys.
All right, Mike Catalano joining us here on Radio Row. Let's start calling this Radio Row.
It's more like a radio triangle.
It's Radio Row. We got, you know.
Yeah.
Rochester right there is Radio Row.
Live Rochester from there. We'll have One Bills Live guys set up over here. That's why it's more of like a triangle.
Yeah. The radio triangle.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to Mike. When we get back, we got a couple things to get to. And we'll catch up, of course. Sean McDermott's going to join us. No, sorry. We'll carry it live. He'll join you, the listeners.
Yes.
9:15.
You're going to hear Sean McDermott talk.
Yes. Through your radio speakers or app or whatever. Jeremy and Joe, when we get back. You got anything for me? I got some. What do you want?
When we get back, I had some odds I was looking at earlier that could be interesting. I did, speaking of odds, I made a bet on a Bill last night.
Okay.
A very long shot bet.
All right. Tell us the long shot bet. And Sean McDermott, 9:15 from training camp. Coverage of Bill's training camp. From St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Stars are out. Put the headset on. All the stars are out. It's Bill's training camp. Paul Hamilton, folks.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Joe Teasy made a bet on the Bills. We got to do that. We can talk about his bet.
We can get
mine?
That. I bet Curtis Samuel will lead the league in receiving yards this year. How bad a bet is that?
I made one.
It can't be bad when it's plus 12,000.
When you hang out with Brad Ryder, you come up with ideas.
Yeah.
So I made one.
You made a bet? You made
What's
a bet?
Your bet?
Chargers wins is 8.5. I took the under.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they have, Johnston is their number one receiver. Their running backs are Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
Yep.
I know they have a good quarterback. I know they still have a couple of guys on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But 8.5, I thought, you know what? I'm taking the under.
I'm back and forth on them because I don't like the coordinator for their quarterback. Like, Greg Roman runs a lot of run-heavy offenses, and he has really only ever coached mobile quarterbacks. So I don't know what he'll look like with Herbert.
He's got a mobile quarterback, but he doesn't run the same. He doesn't.
He runs this quarterback a lot.
Herbert's got this athleticism to run.
Oh, no, that's what I mean.
But a little bit of an unwillingness to do it.
That's what I mean.
The way that you need to.
Like, every Greg Roman offense, a feature of it has been the quarterback runs a lot. And when you don't have that as your offense, maybe it'll go fine. The other side, that's why I want to bet against them. The only part of me that thinks, no, they'll be fine, they know how good Justin Herbert is, they're not going to hide him, is Harbaugh picked that job.
Yes. Like,
he could have had any job he really wanted, right?
He picked the one with Justin Herbert.
He's an excellent coach, and I think he's going to, you know, soon enough. Listen, one thing that this
I don't think they have the roster to
win. So you would take the over.
I don't know about this year, but I would say this for Bills fans out there. Harbaugh going to the Chargers is good for Bills fans because Kansas City might get less of a free pass every single year. The division's been a free pass.
Someone's going to bother the Chiefs a
little bit. Someone's going to get in their hair a little bit, and that might be the Chargers.
And also, the number one training camp guy, I was listening on the way up here.
Yep.
Clarence Coleman. He looked like Jerry Rice when he was out here. Bledsoe was the quarterback.
I remember Clarence
Coleman. He was fantastic. Made the team.
Yep.
And then watch him in the game. Bledsoe never threw to him because he never got open. He could not get open once the regular season started.
How about this? He had 8 catches.
Undrafted free agent, his entire Wikipedia is one training camp with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, he was
phenomenal. He doesn't have anything else. He played for the BC Lions and Ferris State.
Okay. He did get in, and he caught 8 passes, though.
His career history, he's listed as a Bill from 2002 to 2004, then the Grand Rapids Rampage and the BC Lions.
Wow.
It's not often you see a guy get one camp look. All right, break time.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott on the other side. Paul, if you want to hang out, you can hang out.
Yeah,
all right. Good to be here. Sean McDermott, we will carry live at 9:15. Coverage from St. John Fisher continues. Jeremy and Joe with you here. Happy training camp day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.